Members of a leading Salafi organization in Egypt this week announced plans to form a political party in the country's upcoming elections, the first after former President Hosni Mubarak was forced from office after 30 years. The extremist Islamic group has been blamed for attacking both Sufi Muslim shrines and Christian churches over the past month. The announcement is raising fears that the September elections could lead Egypt in an Islamist direction, affecting the country's millions of Coptic Christians. Anthony Omani is the director of the Center for Eastern Christianity at Heathrop College, University of London. He spoke with Charles Collins about the effect of the recent so-called Arab Spring on the Christians in the region.
Well, obviously, people are very attuned to the fact that we're seeing some form of political reordering going on, but there's no single trajectory. There's no one story here which fits everywhere. And I think also we must always be cognizant to the fact that many of the Middle Eastern states themselves are very complex. Some are very homogeneous in terms of religion and ethnic identity. Other states are less so. And so there's not one story, one archetype which fits all the situations which we're seeing right across the Middle East. And I think that's something we need to bear in mind. Also, one of the key issues that we possibly could see is if you are seeking political change, to get from A to B requires an understanding of the existing forces. Are you seeing a widespread political change, or are you seeing, as in places like Egypt, where you've seen a change of the president rather than necessarily a change of the whole administrative and political elite? So how one manages change is very important. I think also in other contexts, political change can mean the reordering of relations between different religious communities. If it's Sunni and Shia, say in Bahrain, or the fact that in Syria, where you have a wide range of religious and ethnic minorities in relationship to maybe 60 or 70% of the population of Sunni, there you have, if you have any political change, it does reorder the communal balance between the different communities. And I think it's within that context that the Christian communities are both being very highly attuned to what's actually happening in the region, because it's full of hope and possibilities, but also there's an uncertain trajectory around it, because political change does not always mean that we possibly could go through a period of instability, which could be quite difficult for some communities, and the existing law and order regimes, if they are removed, then what is the consequences for that? Also, I think if you are having political change at the top, you're having a turnover, in fact. One has to look at what is the opposition, what are the groups that wish to come in to take on the mantle of power or governorship. And as we know within Islam, the whole question of the legitimacy of governance is a very key issue and is not necessarily always related to the democratic process as maybe Westerners understand it. So legitimacy is a very key issue. So it could be Sunni legitimacy or of the rulers, or the question of the relationship between Shia communities and power, say, in Bahrain or Iraq. So it's a very complex scenario. So there are groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, or some of the more Islamist. Some are radical, some are more politically orientated. They see that they wish to get involved in power because that's the only way that you can really change things. And so Islamic opinion within the Middle East is very broad, and it can go from what one can see as radical extremism to moderate political engagement. And what we can say is that as the process develops, if it's an Arab Spring or if it's not, but as that process develops, the Islamic groups will be changed by the process. because they are in no way form the majority of opinion to allow them to move in to become the majority government. So they're always going to have to negotiate with other types of Islamic groups, other institutional actors, if it's the army, and also they have to learn how to build possibly more coalitions with wide range of groups. I think, and also we must also be aware that many of the states and ruling elites in the region are elites, but they are measured by their relations with the different constituencies within society. So I think it's a very complex scenario, political change, and it's based upon really we have an uncertain trajectory. The states themselves are quite complex and very different from each other. However, we are getting significant demands for change which can bring around a reordering, not just of the political frameworks, but look at some of the great social and economic questions that the Arab world faces. One, you know, lack of urban infrastructure and a weak economy, too many educated graduates and not enough jobs. Or in the rural areas, there's a bit of a crisis in the agricultural sector. And as we know, globally, the whole question of producing food is a key issue. And the Middle East is not immune to that. So there are a wide range of social economic issues which all the new political forces will have to engage with. And then there's the wider question of relations between the different neighborhoods, with different states within the neighborhood, relations with Israel, say the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty, which has been one of the key elements in maintaining a sort of stability between those two very important states in the region, relations with Iran, relations with Turkey, and relations with Europe and the West. But what is interesting, if we're going to account for all of that, is that increasingly within the Middle East itself, there is a demand for a certain Middle Eastern authenticity in political arrangements, which would allow a certain distancing from the West. It wouldn't be anti-Western, but a distancing from the West to seek to go their own way. And in an increasingly multipolar world where we've got emerging in Asia, China, India or Brazil. Interestingly, Brazil recognized the Palestinian state the other quite recently. What you're finding is that within the Arab world itself, many of the Arab political forces, are seeking a new stand in relationship to their own political setup, but the relationship between the Middle East and the Arab world and the world at large. And that is quite interesting, I think.
As you pointed out, it's more of a takeover. It wasn't so much a complete regime change as it was the president left and now the military is in charge. But even with this slight change, the Christian community says it feels very targeted by the regime. Attacks on monasteries, that they, even though Christians participated in the street protests, that now that Mubarak's gone, that they have not been invited to participate in the transitional forums.
Well, Egypt is very important for the whole of the Middle East, but particularly important for the Christians in the Middle East, because, you know, 1 in 2, 1 in 3 of all Christians in the Middle East is an Egyptian Copt. So the future of Coptic Christianity in Egypt is very important for the whole character, stability and strength of Christianity right across the region. And that should not be forgotten. So it's not just an Egyptian question, it's a question for the stability of all Christians and the presence of all Christians in the Middle East itself. The Coptic Church is one of the strongest and revivalist and renewalist churches within the region, and we may be looking at maybe 5 to 10% of the Egyptian population are Coptic. I think that there was quite a stability, a stable relations between church and state under Mubarak for the last few decades, which has been seemingly to the benefit of many different people. What you've got is a change of a presidential regime. Remember, we don't have another president yet, so we don't know what the new arrangement will be. But what it has meant is that political change, as we have seen an upshot of many local domestic issues, some socioeconomic, some with a religious face, which is bringing the Coptic Church and the Coptic population into sometimes tense relationship with local parts of the military or the security apparatus. Now, the question is, are they things that have been going on for a while? And in many cases we have. There are sometimes local land disputes that can take on a more religious dimension because these people belong to two different communities. So if a monastery owns a particular land and it comes into conflict with local Muslim farmers. So what we have to be very careful about is distilling the local complex and trying to understand that in relationship to the national picture. But I would say that the Copts are very nervous that they would be excluded from participating in the future reordering of the Egyptian political system. And I think there are many, probably several reasons for that. One, we don't have a Coptic political party which could represent the interests of all the community. Also, we have Pope Shenouda was elected to office in 1971, so he's been in office for a long time. So there's a question of the relationship between the Coptic religious leadership, and which is older, and a new changing regime. So the Copts in many ways feel somewhat unrepresented, but also many of the, if you wish, more secular or lay religious parties have never been able to mobilize the Coptic vote or the Coptic community into supporting them, and they have not necessarily sought to represent their interests. So I think there's a crisis here about the representation of Coptic interests within new changing political environment. And it needs to be responded to. The political forces that are there need to respond to this because it's a very important question. They're 1 in 10 of the population. But also, if the Coptic issue, the Coptic community are not dealt with properly, then it could lead to long-term resentment, but also possibly a rise in sectarian tension. So I don't think we can read too much into everything we can see at present. There's no one overarching trajectory of political change in Egypt, but we can see that the Coptic community do not have the political face or the representation required of their numbers or of their strength and their importance in Egypt in the changing political process. And I think that needs to be watched because that's a key issue, maybe a key marker of how change will take place. And I said earlier on, I think political change can also mean communal reordering of relations, but also I think what many, not just Christians, but within the wider Muslim community would like to see is like to see a lessening of communal politics and a more upsurge of an engaged population in the political process, not just as in a democratic way, but seeing people actually getting involved in politics and seeing their concerns met. And that has many, many issues associated with that. That's a political freedom, also a religious freedom. And one of the key issues which is of consequence for Muslims and Christians and non-Muslims and Christians in the region, people of other religious minorities, is the whole question of religious freedom. And many people look at what happened in Eastern Europe, 20-odd years ago now, and say, are we seeing something similar? But I think if we are, then one of the key issues which really did bring around major political change in Eastern Europe was the question of religious freedom. And I would suggest if we're going to see major political change, which in the Middle East, it has to be around concepts like religious freedom. So it has to be a spring for everybody and not just for one community. So it's a very complex issue. Many of the states, as I mentioned before, are quite complex in their own arrangement. But in Egypt, you have two communities, the Muslim and the Coptic community, who dominate. Both of them are intensely Egyptian. So what we're hoping is that there is a certain Egyptian national consensus around political change, the change which suits all the different communities. And I'd say one of those issues is around the whole question of religious freedom and opening up the public sphere to a more healthier response to the different religious communities in a more equitable way.
My final question is, you mentioned that this reordering might make some of these regimes that were pro-Western, that the new political reality might be more in tune with a multipolar world. What would you suggest that Western countries do in reaction to these political movements?
Well, the West is a big entity. The West has been extremely influential and has had a huge impact upon the whole of Middle Eastern society and culture and politics, and I don't think we should underestimate that. And many Western issues of its modernity, elements of culture, elements of political culture, if you think of democracy or political participation or technology, modernity, much of that has been absorbed and taken on board. But I would say what the West should seek to do is actually possibly just sit back and listen and more attentively to the political concerns and emerging political forces within the region. Because whilst there is political change and political reordering in relationship to the Middle East and the West, and I would suggest a greater degree of desire for an authentic relationship with the West, a different type of relationship with the West, that could be very beneficial for the West longer term. And I think it needs to sit back and listen and not seek to intervene or not to be too reactive to events which are unfolding. And we don't know how they're going to unfold. And with many different political changes, it's very difficult to desire to intervene at an earlier stage, which could be seen as intervention rather than friendly mentoring. So I would say there is a desire from many of the Middle Eastern states for the West to be a more distant but supportive partner, because much of what we're seeing is not anti-Western, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's totally against it's supportive of the West totally. And I think the West just needs to sit back and actually understand that maybe we're seeing a new type of relationship, which could be a basis of friendship on a different foundations, which could be more real, more longer lasting. And that's important. It doesn't have to necessarily be on a relationship of master and disciple. We could actually see something more of an equitable relationship emerging. And I think that would probably be good for everyone all around. So how the West responds to this situation will be also seen both positively and negatively within the region. But I think if the Middle Eastern opinion feels that the West is respecting an authentic process taking place within the region, then I think that will have long-term dividends.